Somewhere in the dark and nasty regions where nobody goes, stands an ancient castle. Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives...
From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Hello!
Overworked servant of the thing upstairs.
Feed me!
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trapdoor. For there is always something down there, in the dark, waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
Stay away from that trap door.
'Cause there's something down there.
So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's very, very special Swampy's Red Rebel Radio. I'm Ben here in Manchester, and over there in the gloom that is the European Union, Swampair. Yay! I miss it. welcome back, Swampair. How's your week been?
You talk of the gloom of the European Union. Well, all we have here in Brussels is sunshine.
I know, I was joking. It's actually
absolute
chucking it down there.
Absolute glorious sunshine, 26 degrees today, another wonderful weekend ahead of us, some with football, some without football, because the breaking news here in Belgium is that all football has been cancelled for the weekend.
Oh, why?
So no, because of corruption allegations against some of the top clubs for money laundering. So not only are they taking a step of just stopping those teams from playing this weekend, all Belgian football ceased. So until further notice, we have no games, which is really disappointing because Union Saint-Gilles, my local team, are now top of the Belgium second division.
A big congratulations to them, but I think not every league, but this is similar to what happened in Italy a few years ago, isn't it? It's at least it's getting stamped out and banged on the head, I suppose. Knocked on the head.
Well, yeah. Well, there was, I think there was 200 police officers around Europe with arrest warrants. It's easy to say, arrest warrants. It's like something... our West warrants.
Imagine if those warrants were wet as well. Imagine that.
Oh, goodness gracious! I can't even get my tongue around it. I'm trapped. If they were pesky wet, arrest warrants. Just have to rely now on the mighty FC United to do the business tomorrow against the old Darlow.
Obviously, it's non-league day as well, and Cushcan Malcolm's on, and Cushcan Malcolm's pushing the boat out, and we'll get to what Cushcan Malcolm and what FC United are doing for non-league day and the arrival of Darlington in a second. But it's been one of those weeks again at FC United. Never a dull moment, especially if you're interested in getting to find out what other managers think about applying for FC United jobs. Why do they keep doing it, Swamper? I'd just like to say the rumour that doesn't exist yet about me taking over the club as manager of the club is not true, just in case anyone thought it was, which I know no one did. But anyway, yes.
Have you calmed down now for that little rant, Ben?
I just think it's PR. It's a PR disaster. If you don't want rumours to surround your manager, don't say anything.
Well, listen, football clubs do certain things in certain ways. I don't think it's been necessarily good for either the rumours and the fact that Darren Kelly had been approached and gone through the correct procedures and also had decided against coming to FC United of Manchester. I thought Hyde's statement, I think we discussed it last week, was a bit of a basket case. I think equally with the Bamber Bridge situation and Mr. Reynolds, it's if a club wants to put something out, they put something out. I think what we've done is the right thing, is to ignore it. I mean, you know, you can get yourself trapped into this silly game of being... very quick to respond, and then before you know it, you're in a battle of words, and it doesn't get anywhere. I think what we've seen is both clubs a lack of professionalism, as far as I'm concerned, a lack of kudos and real quality. So it's entirely up to them if they want to be portrayed in that way. I think anyone in football looked at both situations and thought, that's a bit strange. You'd come out and say our manager's staying when nobody knew he was leaving or even thought about leaving. And equally with a manager who's under contract, they've come out and said, you know, we're not allowing FC to speak to them. I'm sure if FC United Manchester found a compensation package that was suitable, that Mr. Reynolds, certainly after his interview he had on, I think, Tuesday evening on his own club website, you could tell, couldn't you, in his voice that he certainly loved his time and still loving his time at Bamber Bridge. But clearly, as far as I can see from that interview, he wanted to come to FC United of Manchester. But as he said himself, he was still the manager. They were preparing for Saturday's game, so there was training on Thursday. And that's the situation. He's still there. We've still got David Chadwick in charge. And I think what we need to do is just keep working to try and find the right manager or the right combination that could take the club forward. And we don't have to reply to these quite ridiculous, as far as I'm concerned, incidents that have happened in the last couple of days.
Well, you could... that takes me to Witton Albion as well. Obviously, it's been a bad week for the club when it comes to the FA Cup. And last weekend was ridiculous on social media following the game. And it does seem like, you know, there are some things that do need to be knocked on the head. And that's where you've got people spouting off, club officials spouting off on social media.
Yeah, Ben, but, you know, don't read social media. If it winds people up so much, which it clearly does, listen, we've got our own idiots on our own message boards and certainly on our own Facebook page, and quite clearly...
Every club has some, but we're talking players here.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is there are basket cases out there continuously. Now, yes, what happened at the weekend, an idiot of a player, pretty instigating all that, but we're all supposed to be adults. Now... The comments that were made by individuals from Wigan, that's for them to decide. The thing to do is not to respond. If those comments had been left and there'd been not a single response, it would have gone away. I know it's hard when it's your own football club and you want to protect the football club, but don't get into a war of words. Don't get involved with someone who's actually clearly lacking a few brain cells. But I think this is a lesson now that just don't do it anymore. What we need to do is make sure that we provide good quality facilities, as we will tomorrow, food, toilets, and a platform to be able to watch the game. And you celebrate and enjoy the banter with your own supporters, and we'll do it ourselves. And our supporters. And I think you've got to go back to that, to be honest, because, yeah, I mean, I'm glad I don't do Twitter. I'm glad I don't do social media in the respect of having to listen and troll through absolute garbage and nonsense. I did read some of it. Now, that's the whole point of Twitter, isn't it? People are outspoken, regardless whether you're a club official, you're a player, you're an MP, whoever you may be, people rant on Twitter. Luckily, there's that much ranting going on in the world, people quite soon forget about it. And I believe we've just wasted about 7 minutes talking about something that we should be talking about.
I was about to move on to the actual on the pitch, and wasn't that good?
Again, look, you've got a questionable decision. For the first, I do have to say, I have to congratulate Woodzo on the greatest rant at half-time ever. Looking back on it and looking at the details, he was probably wrong because there was clearly a push in the face. Steve Wood's rant was absolutely hilarious. And I've not heard it played back since, Ben. I'm very disappointed. I thought it could have been a strap line. It could have been used. I'm hoping for it to be used tomorrow on the show because it was so worthy. I mean, the fact that a man had lost his voice only 45 minutes into a game showed how passionate he was about actually the incident and indeed the game itself. And then I love the fact that he went, I was going to come on and say how rubbish we were, but then he did that instead, which was excellent.
The reason why I've taken it off, the reason why I've not put it out, and the reason why I took off the post-match of FC Live on this club is because... Just to take the sting out of it, because there is a lot of emotion, and that's pretty much what I was saying about the Twitter thing earlier.
So what you're saying is basically you've decided to vent all that frustration and vent your spleen out on this show.
I'm being quite reasonable, I think. You know, that there were emotions were high on at the time. The red card, I think, You know, fair enough. If he did react, it's a red card. And the other two red cards, I think, were fair enough as well. They were just stupid red cards. So.
And we move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well said.
Thanks. It was better times on Tuesday night. Better times on Tuesday night. Manchester Premier Cup, Gloucester North End, a 2-0 win. And that's what the Manchester Premier Cup brings you. It brings you a relaxed atmosphere where you can be a bit jovial and you play decent football. And it's a good evening. And I think we needed that.
Well, yeah, and circumstances beyond Chaddy's control, really, in regards to players that he could pick. So, you know, Jan Plankus, made his debut at centre-back. Theo Brearley made his debut, didn't he? And Cole Lonsdale, you know, and then a very youthful team was Nassir Senior back. And it was a game where, you know, FC United could go out and enjoy themselves. He put a youthful team out there. And one thing which was excellent, you know, we were talking about the petulance of young Elliot from the game on Sunday, on Saturday, that got himself sent off. Well, what a way to reply. Man of the match and two goals, you know, and that's the mark of a young player who, yeah, he's probably very disappointed with his sending off. Which obviously means tomorrow he won't be playing. Together with, just to let you know, by the way, tomorrow, Ben, there's 8 players out tomorrow. 8 players.
Why 8 players?
Logan, Egan, Litchfield, Allenson, Priestley, Winter, Simmons, and Willoughby.
And we'll turn to that game now. On the pitch, a bit depleted. Off the pitch, though, Koshkan Malcolm returning to the SMRE. And we've got Marvin Cheeseman, OK Broken, Oldham Band, and we've also got, from Darlow Fans Radio, Michael, who will be coming along to talk about what it's like commentating on a fellow fan-owned club, which is nice, I think.
It is very nice, yes, Ben. I mean, I can imagine. Hello, everyone. I follow Darlington League, and what I like to do is, I like to talk about them a lot, so I thought, what I'll do, inspiration-wise, I got it from Keg of the Swampy many years ago, and I decided I want to do the radio. So I now do the radio, and I love the club, and I love the music, and I love the football, and I love talking about it. And why I'm not a Geordie, I'm from Darlow.
Okie dokie, I'm not quite sure what happened then. Just ring the bell. Thank you. Right, moving on. We have got an interview with David Chadwick on FC Radio, which will be out on Friday night. But how have you got that information then, that we've got 8 players out?
Well,
who's your sources? Are you seeing Chaddy behind my back? I don't speak to Chaddy until about 4 o'clock. Don't speak to him before me. It's not.
No, what I'm doing now. Yeah, it's not, is it? But what I'm doing, Ben, I realise that you've stolen half of this show with the Ben rants and the guy to there, the guy to there. I thought, you know what? I'm going to speak to Chaddy. I'm going to get the lowdown, the information, even before you get a chance to send it out later on tonight on the show, which is exclusive, and all the information that you get is exclusive. But I've actually given you an exclusive in advance of the exclusiveness.
Just writing down the team on a piece of paper, and I am struggling a bit here.
Well, I've got as far as Pirin, goalkeeper, Senior right back, Lynch centre half, and Thompson left back, and then I would have O'Hanoran and Jones in the centre of midfield roles, and I'd have
Who's your centre backs?
Lynch
and.
You got Pace with Thompson on the left back, and Pace with Senior at right back. Lynch, obviously, stalwart in the middle, you know, in the central defensive role. And then to shore up the midfield, you've got you could have O'Hanoran in the midfield. I think playing Plankus.
Yes.
Plankus.
Who likes doing Maradona turns wearing number 5. Amazing.
I think Plankus, great to have him blooded into a game such as he did. Whether or not you can throw him into a game like Darlington, I think it's probably a bit too much for the youngster. So, you know, I'd keep playing him if you can in the Manchester Premier Cup. Give it a little bit more experience of first team football. Now, unfortunately, we've got no Simos, have we? Because he's out. So Donoghue and two others.
Do you want me to give you my team that I think is actually going to be the team? Because I've written it down now, and I think it will be this team. It'll be
go on, then.
Perrin in goal, two centre-backs of Lynch and Palinkas, senior at right-back, Thompson at left-back, central midfield of Jones and O'Halloran, then a free as attacking midfielders, Tatum, Donoghue and Bannister, and Lewis Mansell up front. That'll be the team. If you're listening, Tommy Wright, you're welcome.
And if you're listening anywhere else, Tommy Wrong. So you reckon that's the team, do you?
I reckon that's going to be the team. Yeah, because I didn't think of O'Halloran in midfield, so you said it. So it has been a team effort, but there you go. I think that'll be the team.
I think at home, I think, you know, if you play with that exuberance and youthful pace going forward, and you play with three guys up top, as long as your midfield is pressing and working and your two wing-backs, or your two players in senior and Thompson can move forward, there's a bit of pace in that back three, you see, for me. Rather than a back four, you've got a bit of pace and you can come out quicker. And if you close down space and you can press the game, you know, it's an opportunity. But as you say, it's more likely they're going to play slightly more defensively minded than that I'm thinking. But I think, you know, they've got nothing to lose at home. You're playing against a team that they're also struggling. They're looking over the shoulder. There's no great confidence in that team. Their two victories have come in the last five games. So they've had two victories in the last five, but not consecutively. So they're going to be under Julie a lot of pressure tomorrow. They're coming to FC. Their supporters will be there in numbers, as we always know they are. They'll be on their backs. You know, it's for us to keep our faith with David Chadwick and the players, get behind them and scare the living daylights out of Darlington.
Now, I'm just looking to see what's going on at Nuneaton at the moment, because it's not looking good, is it? With the situation off the pitch at the club. We obviously wish everyone well at Nuneaton Borough, especially the supporters.
I blame Esther McVeigh.
Don't shoehorn your politics into that.
I'm just sure
Nuneaton Borough have not been shoehorned into Universal Credit just yet. Although I'm sure it wouldn't help the situation. But Southport are taking on York City, and just above that, obviously Darlington are in action against some club called FC United, and then Blyth Spartans, they're travelling to Boston United, while Hereford are travelling to Stockport County. What I'm trying to say is, a win would be handy on Saturday. That's all I'm saying.
Of course, a win would be very handy. I mean, you know, it won't take us out of the bottom three. We'll end up on 9 points. You know, to get out of the bottom three, we need to win three games consecutively. A tall order for a team in transition without a fully appointed manager. And we know how difficult it is to try and get a manager at this moment in time. We can talk about that if you want, Ben. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. And say we've got a young, inexperienced team. All the real experience at this moment in time is either on the bench or is suspended. So we'll have to really put a good shift in tomorrow. It's probably the best time for Darlington to play us, because we are actually without, you know, Willoughby, who came on for the last 15 minutes on Tuesday for England C and did quite well. Obviously, Winter with a red card, Priestley, the experience there in the back. So in that respect, it's good time for Darlington to play us. But the same token, it gives a chance for those younger players to get out there and, you know, put a shift in and really, really cement their place at FC. Because if and when a new manager does come in, all these players will be having to look over the shoulder with the new manager. They'll be wanting to impress. So they might as well get themselves fully fit now and 100% ready for the new manager.
Who is the new manager, Swamper? What's going on? Because at the moment, we've got all these managers coming out going, no, thanks for asking. I've not heard from Steve Bruce yet, to be fair. So that's still an possibility. We're going to have to make a decision at some point. It can't continue like this, where we get a random non-league club coming out every weekend.
Well, I think the process has been one that we've had to obviously look at all the candidates that sent CVs in. Quite a number of them were discarded because you do get quite a number of interesting CVs. Some are genuine, others are, you know, I'm the manager of the national team in the little island in the middle of the Sahara, And I've coached their under-9s internationally. And I'm talking, you know, you get some really incredibly strange CVs.
What's wrong with the manager of AFC Timbuktu?
And the situation is that, you know, you weed out those that you think can do the job. That normally is a very small short list. And the reality is in football, if you want a manager, there's some good quality that comes through via CVs, but vast majority of managers want to be approached. They don't want to send a CV in. And that's why you have to go out and you have to do it in the right manner, and you have to approach it through via the club, giving permission to speak to the club. And once they give permission to speak to the club, it's down to the individual manager to make a decision. The club then themselves will decide whether or not they want their manager to go, and they'll look for compensation if they do go. But equally, it's an opportunity for a manager who maybe not necessarily wanting to leave a football club, but a good bargaining tool for them. They say, look, they want me, they're offering me this. If you can offer me A, B and C, I'll stay here. But I need an increase in the budget, this, I needed a bit of that, and I needed a bit of this. So we've gone out there and we've approached the kind of calibre of manager that we think that A, would suit FC United of Manchester, B, are the right fit for FC United of Manchester, and C, the supporters will get behind. Unfortunately, one of the major problems that we have at this football club at the moment is we've got 12 players that are actually on contract. And with 12 players on contract, it means that 75 to 80% of your money is taken up by those contracted players. Now, some of those contracted players are good enough. Some of them certainly aren't good enough. Some of them are injured. You're given a finite amount of resource. So what you've got to do with the manager, you've got to say to a manager that is looking to come to the club, or you're looking to try and bring them in, you've got to show them, this is what you're working with. This is what you've got. Most managers will, A, looking at that, not want to join FC United Manchester. If it had been at the beginning of the season, in a pre-season, and they brought their own players in and blah, 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 then yes.
I mean, we've said on FC Live, I mean, there's managers at the bottom of the National League North who'd be quite handy, but as we've said, they're not going to come. Then you've got the managers up at the top end of the Northern Premier League, and you know, you look at Paul Carden, why would he leave Warrington? And Steve Kitchick, why would he leave Scarborough, given where they are at the moment and the squads are built? So you are looking at mid-table in the NPL and the quality managers that are there, and that's where you have to set your sights.
Yeah, set your sights accordingly. Yeah. There are managers that are out of work at this moment in time that have looked at FC and just not right for them at this moment in time. You know,
yeah.
No one's sitting on the laurels. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes in trying to get the right manager into the football club, and a lot of conversations, a lot of knockbacks, a lot of people saying, would love it, can't work with that budget. I've got a reputation, and therefore I don't think I can do it. And at the end of the day, it's about getting the right person in, and short-termism is not the right answer. You know, yes, we know staying in this division would be fantastic and we would love that to happen. But equally, if we go down, I'd rather go down and have a manager in place that actually can actually survive in the Northern Premier Division and get us back up quite quickly. So in that respect, we've got to just bide our time. It may well, you know, we might end up with Dave Chadwick, which is absolutely no problem at all. You know, he's proven that. He's a winner. We know his mentality and what he wants. Again, he'll be frustrated because it's not his team. He's brought in as many youngsters as he can. I know he's looking at trying to bring in players all the time. You know, he's constantly on the search for strengthening the squad and bringing in players not on short-term loans and just youngsters, but bringing a little bit of quality and a little bit of experience into the team, because that's what's certainly needed. But it's all going to take time. A victory tomorrow will do us the power of good. And you know, if we don't win, we're just going to keep going and going and going. And this season, we might get relegated, but there's 31 games to go. I mean, it's not as if, you know, we can't get out of the situation that we're in. And if we apply ourselves and we all come together and work together, then there's no reason why we can't get ourselves out of the situation. But if we stay where we are, we stay where we are, and we'll go down because we've been the poorest team in the division. Simple as that.
So, just before we go, Swampet, we've not done the tourist guide of Darlington, which is quite handy, really, considering Darlington are actually coming here. So, for Darlington
it
fans...
It didn't stop you the other week, though, did it?
No, but that was in
it's
the cup.
It's never stopped you.
That was in the cup.
Yeah, but Ben, hold on a second. I've actually done some research.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And it's very, very, very quickly, but Darlington...
Yes.
What's Darlington famous for, Ben? Do you know?
The steam engine.
It is, yes. But that was the first steam powered passenger train.
Yes.
27th of September 1825. It carried 600 passengers. Took them to Stockton-on-Tees, and it went at a speed of 6 miles an hour. Not a lot has really changed, because I've been on Virgin trains. And I've been going 6 miles an hour, it seems, from Manchester to London, you know. So since 1825 to 2008, actually, Ben, I've got something to say about Virgin trains.
Oh, okay.
They sent me an email today asking me if I would recommend friends and family on their trains from Euston to Stockport. Stockport to Euston.
What's your option? What's your other option?
And I put zero, and that's why I said, because it's a stupid question, because it's the only option. And it is, that's right. I mean, what a stupid question. And then I think I'm out of it. Oh, no, there's another 10 questions. So then I'm getting, you know, it's like, oh, what do you think of the toilets? Do you really need that to answer that question about the toilets on a Virgin train? What could we do to improve them? I went, clean the buggers. And it was just a long list of absolutely, you know, of nonsensical questions. What do you think of the food and drink? The drink's all right, but there's no food for vegans, you know. And thank you very much. Would you recommend? No, I wouldn't recommend, because just the only way to get there. I'm actually at the bottom. I actually put, have you got any further information you'd like to share with us? I put, thank you for letting me fill in this survey. I have now decided I'd rather spend 5 hours on the coach with a big yellow smiley face on the side of it for £5 than getting on one of your trains ever again. Oh, and they've automatically entered me into a draw. It'll probably be a free ticket to
you. You might win. You might win.
But also, very, very quickly, going back to Darlington, the MP Joseph Pease, there's a statue in Darlington of Joseph Pease. He was a Quaker. And he served Parliament, and he refused to take his hat off in Parliament, and also refused to swear the oath of office.
Oh, really?
So they all sat round, and said, "Well, we can sort." I mean, and it's interesting, isn't it? This the reason why I'm saying this is because they actually decided that he could have it affirmed. He affirmed his office rather than swore his oath to the office. His family set up the Stockton and Darlington Railway Company, so he was very prevalent in the railways. Also, hugely important in the mining industry. He bought pretty much all the coal mines in the northeast of England, and he was the MP for Durham. But he's also an anti-slave, part of the anti-slave movement as well. So he's an interesting character. And if you go into Darlington, there is actually a statue of him.
And more importantly, great sideburns. Great sideburns. Oh, they're superb. Yes, look at them.
Everyone. Them chops, proper chops, them, aren't they?
Yeah, like Frank Tate. They go underneath his chin and everything. It's brilliant. Well done.
Like Frank. Like Amos. More like Amos. Amos Brealey. But there you go.
And on that random note, that is the end of this week's Red Rebel Radio. Swampy, just before you go, your song for the week, please.
Just as a nice, because the show's been a little bit hectic. How about a bit of Leo Sayer? No, we won't have Leo Sayer. We'll have Western Eagle by Martin Stevenson and the Dainties, but it's part two.
Well, Swampy, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely weekend, and we'll be here from you next week.
Indeed, and who knows, I may well still, in fact, I probably will still be in Brussels. I've decided that Brussels needs me as much as I need it for the time being, but I'm hoping to get over in November sometime to catch a couple of FC games. But enjoy tomorrow, enjoy Cush Cam Malcolms, some great music, the band they're on are absolutely superb as well, and obviously Marvin Cheeseman as well, absolutely fantastic. He'll do his new track, his new Was it Marvin that did his? Oh yeah, Marvin did the Mourinho poem, didn't he, live on the Mike Sweeney show last week, I think. And come on, the mighty Reds from Brussels. Adieu, au revoir, à bientôt.
Bye, Swampy. Still going. Yep. Any more? Yep, one more. Okay. I'm a bit worried if you stop now, Swampy, that you might have passed out or something. Do you want me to ring an ambulance?
This is FCUM Radio, the official radio station for the preservation of the Balm Cake.